First, we revisit a story from October of a woman in Afghanistan with a pathway to New Zealand residency as a refugee, but who'd waited years for a visa. She was unable to escape Afghanistan before the Taliban took control this year because Immigration New Zealand still held her passport here in New Zealand and had done so for 3 years. We spoke to the woman's cousin, whom we'll call Mina, not her real name, and who lives in New Zealand with other family members. Mina told us in October that her cousin is in a desperate situation, in danger of the Taliban, and without any identity papers.
Basically, her passport and her original ID is with Immigration New Zealand. So it's like, it's 4 years that the immigration holds her passport and her original ID. That's why she couldn't get out of Afghanistan. Before the Taliban get Kabul, she couldn't get out of Afghanistan only because of her passport. So she couldn't apply for other visas in another country, or else she wouldn't be in Afghanistan now. But after that Taliban take Kabul, she tried to go to airport. So if there's a way that she can get out of the country, but it was not successful. And then she went to Nimroz, so the border of Iran. She wanted to get out of the country and go to Iran. All of the women, her family and other women, so they took them after a week to a minibus. So they went towards the Iran border, and it was midnight, and the Taliban took them. So the Taliban take the drivers and killed in front of them, and they take another Taliban man to drive the minibuses and drive them back to Nimroz, and the Taliban threatened them that they would kill them if they see them again. But she used to tell me that some of the families who had passports, they could pass the border, they could go to Iran, and those people were telling the Taliban that we have houses back in Iran. So our family and our houses in Iran, so we just came here to Afghanistan to visit their families, so let us go. So the Taliban would let them go, and they had passports, but she couldn't pass because she didn't have passport, because New Zealand immigration hold her passport.
The Afghan woman's cousin, Mina, describing the situation. In a new development, a High Court ruling that Immigration New Zealand was wrong to stop processing refugee visa applications due to COVID restrictions on the border has given hope to a group of around 70 Afghan nationals, including Mina's cousin. But there are now concerns that MFAT, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which has been facilitating emergency flights out of Afghanistan, is about to shut down for summer and may hinder arrivals into New Zealand for weeks. The ruling came after a judicial review by Community Law on behalf of around 70 Afghans who applied for residence visas before last year's lockdown. The High Court said the rules in place at the time the visa applications were made must stand, and that applying new ones, such as COVID restrictions, fell outside the law. Angela Smith is the Legal Services Manager at Community Law Waikato and is working on this case. Kia ora, Angela.
Kia ora.
Could you remind listeners why you went to the High Court, what it was you were arguing?
Yes, well, the reason that we went to the High Court is we had a large group of people, these 70 people, who had visa residency applications in train for sometimes a number of years, just like Mina's cousin, you know, up to 3-4 years they'd been waiting for visas. And when the border restrictions came into place, immigration actually stopped processing those visas. And they told us that was because they could not issue residency visas while these border restrictions were in place. Now, that was something that we disagreed with. We believe there was humanitarian exceptions to the border. And when the Taliban sort of took over Afghanistan, when Kabul fell, the urgency became very apparent at that time. But still, these visas were not being processed. So as a last-ditch effort after trying to communicate the urgency, we went to judicial review to challenge immigration's decisions on that. And, of course, that did come back successful, that immigration had unlawfully stopped processing those visas, which we're just absolutely ecstatic about.
Can you explain a little bit more about what the court found? It was the retrospective, because the applications were made before COVID, it was the retrospective application of a new kind of COVID restriction. Could you get into a little bit more detail about the sort of catch-22 that people were finding themselves in?
Yeah, definitely. So Basically, what we were arguing was, you know, people need that surety when they apply for residency, the rules need to remain the same, because if it's going to take you 3 or 4 years to process them, if rules change in between, that's really going to catch people out. And that's exactly what happened to these people. So when the restrictions came into place, it said you cannot come into New Zealand without a residency visa. But the problem for them was that they couldn't have their residency visa processed because of the border restrictions. So it was a complete catch-22 for them, and they were stuck in this complete limbo in Afghanistan, and of course with their families desperate to have them here in New Zealand.
As a result,
we're here in New Zealand sponsoring.
As a result of these rulings, what has happened since?
Okay, so what's happened since is that immigration has began processing those applications. I've got that in writing from them, which is excellent news. So I know that they're underway, and I'm hoping to be in touch with them again next week to see where they're at with many of our applications. We have had two applications that have already been processed, which is excellent news for those families, and those here in New Zealand are just beside themselves with that great news. So we're just organising that and hopeful to get the rest of those through, particularly cases like Mina's cousin, who are really ready to go. There's nothing more that needs to be done on that application.
Can you explain a little bit more about her specific situation and what needs to happen now?
So really with Mina's cousin, she's done everything. She's done her medicals. There is an accommodation plan here for her in New Zealand. So she's got housing waiting for her in New Zealand. She's vaccinated, and her cousin has also organised, depending on what the rules are, she can self-isolate here in New Zealand. There's a room with an ensuite ready for her. So she has passed all the security checks. Everything's ready for her in New Zealand. The only thing that she needs is a residency visa in her passport. Once that is done, we will organise getting that to her on the ground. And with MFAT's assistance, which they have been fantastic to date, we will arrange to get her into New Zealand.
So she's actually further ahead than many applicants in the process. She's right ready to go.
She's right ready to go, and we do have a few of those in that position, because they've been waiting for like a number of years, since 2020, to have them done. But yeah, she is one of those that is just right there on there. Actually, she probably is one of the furthest one, because it was a second person check, just a second person signing that off, ready to go when her progress got put on hold.
For a very long time, it should be said.
Yes.
Is the challenge now going to be facilitating this, getting the documents to her and to others and getting them out of the country? And can you explain a little bit more about what's going to be involved in that?
Yeah. So that can be challenging, but that has been successfully happening over the last little while. We do have other people that did have valid visas that we have been able to fly out into New Zealand, and as I say, MFAT does do a fantastic job of facilitating that. We're just hopeful that they will continue to do that for our group of clients, because we now have a large number of people, and probably not just only our clients, there'll be other people affected by this judgment as well, that now are eligible to get visas, and we expect that MFAT will provide them with the same level of service that they have previously. So we're hopeful that they can continue with full support over Christmas. I'm aware they're looking at a skeleton staff system, but we're hopeful that they will provide that same service to our clients and, you know, such as Mina's cousin, once they get that visa, that we can promptly get them here into New Zealand.
Given the complexities of the situation in Afghanistan at the moment and the security situation in Afghanistan at the moment, I imagine it is a fairly comprehensive process that MFAT is undertaking in order to get these people out and on their way. Is the worry, therefore, that there could actually be a long delay if MFAT is not operating at full staff? We appreciate people, the holidays are coming, we appreciate many government agencies, many public service agencies have had very busy years, like a lot of other people. But is the concern that if there were to be a normal holiday break, this is not only going to delay people getting out, but possibly elevated risk remains?
Oh, yes, 100%. I mean, the flights could, and the ability to cross borders and things like that, they could just stop at any time. And, Afghanistan, it's coming into winter, it's a harsh winter. There's a lot of things going on that people really need to take this opportunity now to get out. So, we know the official evacuation flights ended, but people have still been able to make their way out at this time, and that could end at the drop of a hat. So we still want to go full steam ahead, and I do appreciate, people need a break in the Christmas holidays, but humanitarian crises don't wait for anyone, unfortunately. So yeah, we just really hope we do still get that support for our clients. They deserve it. They should have had these visas a long time ago.
Who do you need assurances from, and are you getting assurances that this won't take a holiday pause?
I don't have that assurance yet, no. If we could get that from MFAT, that would be fantastic. I'm aware that they are talking about facilitating only emergency flights. In my mind, I don't, yeah, I can't reconcile why anyone leaving Afghanistan wouldn't be an emergency flight, but they don't seem to be falling within that category. So, to have some assurance from MFAT that they would continue to assist with these evacuations from Afghanistan for people that do have valid visas. I mean, there's still a lot of people, not just our clients, but those coming under the Afghan resettlement criteria who work for the Defence Force that still need to be evacuated. So there still is a lot of work to be done in that
Is
space.
the onus on the New Zealand government as a whole, having one of its agencies taken to court and having the court order that these visas ought to be processed and that effectively this process should never have stopped, is the onus on the government to get these people out and safe now?
I think so. I would agree with that. That, yeah, it is on the government to do something for these people. And so, I mean, some of these people, if we look back at their applications, really could have been processed before the borders were restricted, had they been processed in a timely fashion.
Many are under threat from the Taliban itself and/or from personal circumstances as well. We are aware of that. They are in desperate straits in terms of their well-being as well as their safety in some instances.
Yes. Yeah, there's some really harrowing stories that are coming out. And, in terms of even Mina's cousin, just the absolute stress and anxiety she's under as a single woman in Afghanistan. She's seen the minibus driver be killed. She couldn't cross the border. She's been beaten. She's had family members beaten looking for her. It's really, I think, quite hard for us to fathom in New Zealand what is going on. I struggle to get my head around it sometimes with some of the horrific stories I hear, and the real stress that, I mean, they have family here in New Zealand that have sponsored them. The stress that their family in New Zealand are under just dealing with the situation is, you just wouldn't wish that on anyone. It's absolutely immense.
Can we look at another element of what came out of that court case, by the way? Because there were two types of visas that applicants were making. And I understand that as a consequence of this court case and what the court decided, Immigration New Zealand has made a change to the wording of one of the visa classifications. I'm talking about critical purposes. Would this change make it harder for future applicants for this particular visa?
It will make it harder for a different visa, the exceptions to come through the border. So what happened was, because they weren't processing our refugee family support visas, we applied for a different type of visa. It's sort of like an emergency visa to come to New Zealand, saying that there was a critical purpose to travel. And the reason for that was that these people had residency visas in train. And because of the humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan, and for many of them, their connection to the New Zealand Defence Force, it put them at increased risk, and therefore they should be coming through the border. What Immigration New Zealand said when they declined those was that there was no humanitarian situation in New Zealand. So they said they won't look at the situation in Afghanistan, they will only look at that in New Zealand. We argued that in court and said that those particular instructions didn't apply to just New Zealand. They had a connection to New Zealand, but the humanitarian crisis was in Afghanistan. And the court agreed with our argument on that. So that's now required immigration to have a relook at those as well. And that may get people through a bit quicker than waiting for the residency visa if they were, you know, a little bit further back in the process. Immigration have now basically plugged that hole, I guess you could say, from the 29th of November. So they've reworded that to read how they basically wanted it to read, or how they were interpreting it before the court case, that these they've renamed it compassionate circumstances, and they have to apply in New Zealand. And they've specifically said, we will not be considering humanitarian circumstances outside of New Zealand.
When the fairly obvious thing to observe is the humanitarian crisis is actually in Afghanistan in this case, right?
Yes.
Not in New Zealand.
Yep,
or
exactly.
Anywhere else in the world. That's what the humanitarian crisis is. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
That won't have affected anyone who was already in the queue, but as I understand it, most of those who were in the queue were no longer pursuing this visa anyway. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So many of our clients are okay in terms of taking the court case. I'm concerned about people that became aware of this after the court case and realised that they could apply for it. So that could be, you know, it covers a lot of countries, like even if you're looking at Myanmar and, you know, with a connection, someone with a connection to New Zealand wanting to come through, they may have been able to apply for this critical purpose visitor visa. So there was sort of around about 7 days from memory before they changed the instructions, which was a fairly short period of time for people to hear about the court case and maybe realise that they could apply for that critical purpose visitor visa if they weren't one of our, you know, clients we had already advised.
Community Law's Chief Executive, I think, has said it was cynical that they could act this quickly to close this loophole. There having been delays in other parts of the process.
Yes, and would certainly prefer they put their efforts into processing the visas rather than, you know, changing the instructions would be our position on that for sure.
Do you have any sense, having worked on these cases for so long now, why this happened? Why, I mean, in the case of Mina's cousin, when we went back to the original interview, it was years ago, it was 3 to 4 years ago, that she had ticked every box and was awaiting the visa. As you said, it had got through the first sign-off, it was awaiting the second sign-off that just seemed to go on and on and on, and there was a request by the family, could we please have another staff member and get this thing going? I don't know whether there was anything complicating that, but do you have any sense of why this has happened, or in the case of, as we said, those people who had assisted the Defence Force at their own risk, any idea why it's taken so long and been so hard?
I grapple to deal understand that myself. My view, I think they just was a potentially there was a policy decision that they weren't given priority, and I don't know why, because they do assist other refugees resettling, and there's no cost to the government. These are sponsored by New Zealanders here. They pay for everything, and Mina's cousin's case was particularly long and probably one of the longest I've seen, and that one I'm really at a loss to understand why that took so long. There were a lot of complaints that we put through. We did ask to change staff members. There was weekly follow-ups, and unfortunately that one did not get processed before, you know, the border restrictions came in, and I really feel that she could have been here prior to that had that one been processed in a timely fashion.
We've talked about the circumstances that many of these people are in, waiting, the security threat, but also just their general well-being. And, you know, what are you hearing from them now? Are they just desperate to get that final sign-off, if it's going to happen, and then to get that help coming to New Zealand?
Yeah, look, they're absolutely desperate. Their people are running out of food now. So they're running out of food and water. There's no way to get money to these people as well. So, you know, most people have had their homes taken over by the Taliban, so they're in hiding. We've had some people in the mountains. We've got people living in tents in Kabul. We've got people hiding in you know, friends' houses. It's an absolutely desperate situation. And then on the other hand, we've got the family in New Zealand at the doctors, at the counsellors, just beyond stressed at the risk that their family is facing. So, look, it's a horrific situation to be in, but there is certainly some hope now that we've got this court case come through, that we are going to be able to get some people here to New Zealand to reunite with their families, which is going to be great.
Angela, thank you. And keep in touch, please. Angela Smith, who is Legal Services Manager at Community Law Waikato. Earlier we heard from Mina, not her real name, the cousin of the woman in Afghanistan who is one of these applicants, and whose story we told you back, brought you back in October.